So we are continuing in our sermon series, Questions That Jesus Asked. And so we are picking up in Luke chapter 24, beginning in chapter 24, verse 36. And this is post-resurrection. And so Jesus has appeared to the women at the tomb. He's appeared to the disciples on the road to Emmaus. And then we have Jesus appearing again amongst his disciples. And it reads, "As they were talking about these things, Jesus himself stood among them and said to them, 'Peace to you.' But they were startled and frightened and thought they saw a spirit. And he said to them, 'Why are you troubled and why do doubts arise in your hearts? See my hands and my feet, that it is I myself. Touch me and see. For a spirit does not have flesh and bones, as you see that I have.' And when he had said this, he showed them his hands and his feet. And while they still disbelieved for joy and were marveling, he said to them, 'Have you anything here to eat?' They gave him a piece of broiled fish, and he ate it, and he took it and ate it before them. Then he said to them, 'These are my words that I spoke to you while I was still with you, that everything written about me in the law of Moses and the prophets and the Psalms must be fulfilled.' Then he opened their minds to understand the scriptures and said to them, 'Thus it is written that the Christ should suffer and on the third day rise from the dead, and that repentance for the forgiveness of sins should be proclaimed in his name to all nations, beginning from Jerusalem. You are witnesses of these things. And behold, I am sending the promise of my Father upon you. But stay in the city until you are clothed with power from on high.'" The word of the Lord. Thanks be to God. Let's pray together. Heavenly Father, as we dive into your word this morning, we pray that it would be coming alive into our minds, our hearts, our actions. Heavenly Father, we pray that you would draw us into a deeper and more meaningful relationship with you, and that it would empower us to spread your good news, your gospel message to the world around us in order that our family might grow. We thank you and we praise you, and we pray these things in the name of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Amen. So I have been accused more than once in my life, even in recent history, of being an adult child, and which is probably true. But so Salisa's not in here this morning; she's in the nursery. But I bet if you were to ask her, she would tell you that I have grown up, in the years since she has known me. But nonetheless, I am still an adult child, and as such, one of the things that I greatly enjoy doing in my marriage is like startling Salisa. I'll hide and say boo. She loves it. It's our love language. No. I may or may not like be guilty of, hiding for extended periods of time in order, to scare her. Like I said, she loves it, so it's worth the effort. Salisa says she doesn't like it, but, I think she might miss it if I stopped. And so, it's something that is kind of fun. And we see something similar happen in this passage. As Jesus appears to himself, or appears to his disciples, like just out of nowhere, it says, "Peace be with you." It's almost like Jesus he very literally, miraculously appears in the room with them. And because I am who I am, I sense that Jesus took at least a little bit of pleasure in this. At least a little bit of pleasure in the surprise that his disciples had. But he says, "Peace to you." And essentially, Jesus, he's the Prince of Peace. It's one of the names that we ascribe to him. And so, in a lot of ways, Jesus is saying, "Here I am." Well, popping out and saying, "Boo, here I am. I am with you." In this passage, Jesus appears to his disciples just like he did in the previous passage. He appears, except there's a stark contrast. If you remember last week, we talked about how Jesus begins walking with two of his disciples, and he explains to them through Scripture that these things were to come to pass, that the Messiah would come, that he would suffer, that he would die, and be raised again on the third day. And then after they have come to the belief in the Scriptures, he reveals who he is. In today's passage, it's kind of the opposite of that. Jesus first, he arrives, he says, "Boo, it's me, miraculously, I'm amongst you." And then he uses the Scriptures to explain how that is possible. So it's this flip. Last week we talked about that Jesus was placing this importance on the Scripture so that we would be have reason to believe simply on the basis of Scripture. So why is it different today? Why does Jesus, in this story, first reveal his miraculous nature and then go to Scripture? It's because he's emphasizing something different here. So let's take a look. So Jesus, he asks the question, why are you troubled and why do doubts arise in your hearts? So I said, I think Jesus, had a smile on his face when he arrived amongst his disciples. But their response is they're scared, they're startled. And Jesus is like, I told you I was coming. Why are you, surprised? Why are you sitting here crying? Like, I told you that I was going to be here. I told you I was going to show up. And he goes on, he says, it seems like you don't quite believe me. Go ahead, touch me. Like, I'm real. Inspect me. I'm not a ghost. I'm not a spirit. I'm really here with you, just like I said I was going to be. And then to, further emphasize the point, he asks the question, do you have anything to eat? And it seems like an unusual detail to include in the story. But it's there very purposefully because it is there, it has deeply theological significance in that Jesus was not just raised spiritually. Jesus was not just illusion. He wasn't pretend dead. He isn't pretend alive. No, he was fully dead and now he is fully alive. He was raised. It is the fullness of this miracle. He is very much alive in the sense that he still needs food in order to continue to thrive and be healthy and live. In Acts 10:41, we read, after Jesus spent 30 days after his resurrection interacting and moving amongst his disciples. And in Acts, this is what it said. But God raised him on the third day and made him to appear, not to all the people, but to us who had been chosen by God as witnesses, who ate and drank with him after he rose from the dead. And so this isn't some isolated incidents where Jesus, one time asks for food, but he repeatedly is seen in his humanity after his resurrection with his disciples. So Jesus is saying, I am here, I am very much alive, just as I said this was going to happen. And then he launches into his instruction where he takes them back to the Scriptures. He says, everything in Scripture, everything that you've read, everything that you've studied, everything that I have taught you up until this moment, the law, the prophets, and the Psalms have all been designed to point you to this moment. We frequently give the disciples a hard time for their lack of understanding or their forgetfulness or their foolishness or ye of little faith. But here it says that Jesus, he opened their minds to the understanding of Scripture. He opened their minds to the understanding. And so we get this sense that it took divine intervention in order for the disciples to fully be able to understand what the Scriptures were teaching. Yeah, they had studied this stuff, but in order for it to come fully alive inside of them, it took something divine. It took the Spirit of God moving and working. And this is what Jesus is doing here. And so he uses the Scriptures to illustrate what the gospel has now proclaimed. That everything from the law to the prophets to the Psalms pointed towards what was going to happen. That Jesus was going to be born, that he was going to do ministry, that he was going to suffer and die, and 3 days later be raised again. And so in the law reveals our need for a Savior. And it gives the history of the people of Israel, how they are repeatedly, God calls to them, and the people respond, and then the people gradually move away, and God calls to them again. It continues, the people move away, and God draws them back. The people move away, and God draws them back. So we, in the law, we have this need for our Savior. And the prophets are the foretelling or the prophesying that there is going to be a Savior coming. And in the Psalms, reveals the passion or the longing of the people, the longing for deliverance, the longing for a Savior, the longing to be rescued. And so Jesus uses his words to show to them how this is all lining up just as God planned for it to be. And then in verse 47, he says that it has all gone according to plan for the purpose and that repentance for the forgiveness of sins should be proclaimed in his name to all nations, beginning in Jerusalem. And so Jesus is saying all of Scripture up until this point, all of the Old Testament, the law, the prophets, and the Psalms are directing you to this moment in order that now you would go out and proclaim the good news to all of the nations. And Jesus is saying, not only did all of the Old Testament, the law, the prophets, and the Psalm proclaim that was going to happen to Jesus, happened, but it also proclaims what is going to happen now. And so the law reveals the promise. The promise of God's plan to restore his people into right relationship with him. And the prophets, they said that one day there will come a day when it will no longer just be the God of the Jews, but it will be the God of all nations. And then in the Psalms, the praise and worship because. And so Jesus is pointing at this idea that the Scriptures are not simply meant to be studied in order to understand the past, but the Old Testament, it very explicitly is continuously pointing towards the future. So we have in the law our need for a Savior and the promise that we will get one. We have the foretelling that the Messiah will come and that his good news will not be just for God's chosen people or the Jews, but now for all nations. And we see the longing or desire for a Messiah and then the praise and worship in response to receiving one. All of Scripture is designed to point us to Christ and our response to what he's done. All of Scripture. And the last thing that Jesus shares with his disciples here is that the Holy Spirit is coming. In verse 49, he says, "And behold, I am sending the promise of my Father upon you." The promise of his Father. In other places, it says that I am sending a helper. Now, this is the promise of the Holy Spirit. With the disciples, we saw that up until Jesus revealed the truth of the Scriptures to them, they had difficulty understanding them. Because it took something divine. This is one of the benefits that we have living post this account, is that we have already received the Holy Spirit. And that one of the functions of the Holy Spirit is to help us do just that, to understand the Word of God. And so what Jesus is saying here is that he's sending the promise of the Father to you. For what purpose? First, the reveal. Just as Jesus is revealed to his disciples in the world, he is revealed to us. We come to know and understand our need for our Savior, that we have one, that he died for us. And then we are drawn into this deep level of understanding through the reading of the Scriptures and the moving and the working of the Holy Spirit in our lives. That the Holy Spirit helps us to understand. And then lastly, Jesus is saying that because I have been revealed to you, because you have been drawn into this deeper understanding of who I am, you therefore are also called to go and share the gospel good news with the world around them. So the question that I have for you this morning is this. If Christ has been revealed to you, and if the Word has come alive in your hearts on more than one occasion, and it's become the living Word of God, and it's moved and worked in your way in your life, where suddenly you have new understanding that you've never had before, and it's proven over and over again, and the power of God in moving and working in your life and the world around you, then the question is, why are you still troubled? And why do doubts still arise in your hearts? Why are you still living like you haven't been sent on a mission? You know, we spend all of this time in our life worrying about different things, being troubled by different things. Maybe it's your health or your wealth, and you're concerned about that. Has God not promised that he's going to look after you? Has he not promised that he has, you know, that he cares for you? That there's really nothing that this world can do to you that he can't handle? You know, sometimes we look at the world around us and we become scared because it seems like the world around us is crumbling, and we see violence and natural disasters and people hurting and struggling, and we worry about our safety and the climate of our nation and the world around us. Has God not said that these things would happen? Has God not said that these things would happen as we draw closer to his arrival? Has God not proclaimed that he is sovereign and that he is in control of all of these things? You know, at times we worry about our purpose. And we believe all of these things about God, but does he have a plan for me? In the midst of all of this, has God not created you? Does God make mistakes? Does God simply do things to do them? Or does everything that God does, is it done with a plan and a purpose? So if you are here today, your life has a plan and a purpose. You know, we sometimes wonder, well, do I have value or worth? You know, this world has beat me down, and I feel worthless, and I feel at odds even with myself, and I wonder, am I worth it? Christ died for you to prove to you just how much worth you have. And so we have all of these doubts and worries and these troubles. And friends, what I'm telling you is not to pretend that they don't exist, because they do. They're really real. And so we don't pretend that they don't exist, but we respond to their existence in the light of what Scripture proclaims. We respond in light of a risen Christ. And so Jesus, he appeared to his disciples, he's like, yeah, I died. But guess what? I'm alive, just like I said that I was going to be, just like I promised you. And friends, that is the good news. And that is the good news through which we live in the context of this fallen and broken world. We live in light that we have a risen and living and powerful Savior. And so the question that Jesus asked his disciples is the same question that he asks us today. Why are you troubled, and why do doubts arise in your hearts? He has a pretty good track record of doing everything that he says he is going to do. And so do we believe the promises that he has for us in this world around us? And if we believe that, then we need to act like it. Friends, let's pray together. Heavenly Father, I am so thankful. I am so thankful that you continue to draw me back to you. I am so thankful that there is absolutely nothing that I can do in this world that can draw me too far away from you. Your reach is vast. Your grace and your mercy are never ending. Heavenly Father, I pray that you would help me to respond in the midst of a world that I frequently don't understand. That I would respond in the light of a risen Savior. We thank you and we praise you. And it's in your Son's holy name we pray. Amen.